We're gonna do something a little different today. We got a surprise. As I'm closing my Bible and my notes. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Pray you are blessed. See, worship is important. I'll say this, we'll go into the word. Pastor Michelle's going to speak. You still feel? All right. Hallelujah, which is good and timely. I was going to preach on rejection. I know none of y'all have ever been rejected before. Because that's the only direction I had. That or prayer. But praise and worship is so important. You need to understand what it opens up for you, what it makes available to you, and how the very breakthrough that we were talking about will happen and happen in the midst of your praise. Laying on of hands, and that is very important. The Bible tells us that we need to come together and call on the elders of the church and lay hands and pray, and I believe in that. But your worship and your praise is something that only you can take from yourself. Only you can take from yourself. And once you get to the place where you unlock the secret of what worship and praise will, you will enter into another whole other place with God, where you're not concerned about people's opinions or what you may or may not get. You'll realize in that moment that everything that God promises you is available through your worship. And it will take you to a deeper and higher place than you can ever begin to imagine. And so we encourage you to press in, even the power behind our shout. I've done messages and preach. It's even in our welcome kits. We talk about why we'll shout or use a drum or use a guitar. And the Bible is very clear. You will not even understand that sound opens up things in the spirit realm that you can't even fathom. I heard a powerful, I was at a conference, and Phil Driscoll did an amazing teaching on the power of sound. And just one change of the key, just one minor chord strummed on the piano versus a typical chord, and what it unlocks in the spirit. And this is all in Scripture. I'm not making it up. That's why your worship is so important, that you can be healed in worship. You can be delivered, that while you're in the middle of worship, something can be happening across town. Hallelujah. It's an amazing thing when you can begin to connect and get in tune with what God's doing. If you will let Him unlock that in you, I promise you, you will be on a trajectory in your walk with God that nobody can take it from you. If you can get to a place of when all hell's coming against you, you can be in your car praising God. When someone yelled at you and cussed you out, you can just break out in praise because you know what it will unlock in you. That's how some of us maintain sanity and have peace, right? I'd have been violent a long time ago if it hadn't been for worship. Hallelujah. You'd have seen my mugshot on the news had it not been for worship. Well, hallelujah. Come on, Michelle. See, well, I was expecting to preach, and then we just changed it up on you. And so we're gonna be obedient today.
I didn't touch that water, by the way. You can have it.
How you doing today, church? So Friday, whenever we were went to see the lights, got off the bus in the evening, and Pastor Adam said, well, you can preach Sunday, because the Lord told me that He's going to wake you up in the middle of the night, and He's going to give you a word. And I'm thinking, I got one day to get prepared for this. So Lord, you better do something, do it quick. Well, He did wake me up. Ironically, He woke me up, and He gave me a nugget. And all that did was let me know that the Lord's faithful, and that what I heard through Pastor Adam is going to come to fulfillment today. He confirmed it today through worship, by the way. So I have confidence in what I'm bringing to you today is from the throne room of God. Before I start, I just wanted to to bring up a scripture that went right along with your worship, with our worship this morning. And it comes from Psalm 16, verse 5. And it said, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup, and you make my lot secure. And, you know, we sing songs sometimes, and we sing them, but we don't really understand them until we walk that. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and believe that he died on the cross for you, he indeed is your portion, and he is your cup. And that cup is where the Holy Spirit comes in, and he fills you in a way that nothing in this world can. So my prayer today, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people. I thank you that you are a God that is faithful and is just and is merciful. I thank you, Lord God, that you are able to use even people like me, Lord God, to bring your word, to bring a light into this dark, 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 dark world that we have. God, I thank you that you are our portion. I thank you that you are our inheritance. Our thank you, Lord God, that you are everything that we need. And Father, while we may not even understand whenever we're singing songs like we did today, that you're all I need. We may not even understand that, Lord God, till you're all that we have. But Father, I thank you. I thank you that what overflows from me today, Lord God, are rivers of living water for your people. I pray, Lord God, that you would stop any word that comes out of my mouth that isn't from you. I thank you, Lord God, that everyone within the sound of my voice will hear a God word today, an on-time word today, a word that the Lord is giving them for an encouragement and for endurance and for hope in this place. I'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to have them pull up Psalms 46, verse 1, for starters. I know. I thought you were going to preach my message today. I was like, well, Lord, it don't matter who preaches it. So Psalm 46, 1 says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So who here today is grateful for that baby that came, that was born on Christmas Day? Whatever day, the Christmas Day that might have been, we don't know what day exactly that is, but whatever day it was a day that Jesus came and he was born and he came to this earth to die for us on a cross. Came as a baby. I'm grateful for that baby, and I'm grateful for that baby that grew up as a man, that took all of my sins onto that cross, who took every beating for me. And I just pray and hope that this word today will bring him honor and glory. So, like Pastor Adam was saying, this is an unusual Christmas, I think, for a lot of people. And it's kind of why I think maybe he's having me bring this word today, because I can't think of any time in my lifetime. Now, I'm not that old, but I can't think of any time in my lifetime whenever things haven't been so turbulent, that it hasn't seemed like there were so many storms, that there was so much darkness, that there was so much things that were being shaken on the earth. And the harvest is plenty. But some people don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. And so they look all around because they're looking for something stable. In Psalms 46:1, it says, God is my refuge. So I looked up, I think everything's kind of in a key, just in this short little sentence. Because you look at the word refuge. I looked it up in the Hebrew. It says shelter, trust from rain, storm, or danger. Whenever those disciples were on that ship and it was tossing to and fro and it was going all over the place and they were afraid and they didn't know what was coming next, they went right to Jesus. See, he is our stability. And that's something that I think that a lot of people right now, they're searching for. They're searching for some place that isn't shaking right now. Some place that is stable, that is secure, that they can have trust in. In Psalm 91, 1 and 2, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know that you cannot find rest unless you don't trust? How do you get to that trust? That's the thing. That's what people, it takes relationship. It takes walking with the Lord for a while. It takes getting in that place where you even though you can't see it yet, you believe it. Because you know that you can have victory in a God that goes beyond your circumstances. And whenever I was praying about this, I'm like, Lord, I'm like, what circumstances should I bring up? He said, it doesn't matter. He said, the Bible's full. It's full of stories of individual circumstances. But the bottom line is that we're always going to have something. There will always be something. We're having an abundance of it right now. There's abundance of death around us. There's abundance of shaking around us. There are people all over this nation and all over this world right now who are finding themselves in positions where they don't know whether or not they're going to have a paycheck next week, and they don't know how they're going to make their house payment or their car payment or how they're going to get food on the table for their kids. They don't even know if they're going to be allowed out of their house. They don't know. They are so trapped, and they feel, I can imagine how, like, you look at scriptures like Paul and Silas whenever they were thrown into the deepest, darkest part of that prison. And let me tell you, prisons don't have to come from a prison, actual prison. They can come in your own home. They can come with your own walls. They can come with your own circumstances, and they can be so dark, and you can feel so beaten and so broken that you don't know how you're going to ever get out of it. But God. Because what Paul and Silas found out whenever they were in that prison cell, when it was so dark that they couldn't see, whenever you can't see, you go with what you know. You go with what you're certain of. I had one of my own circumstances this week, and this is why I think the Lord's having me bring it, because sometimes we have to preach from a place that we've walked in. And I don't really need to tell you what the circumstance is, because I don't feel that that's important. What's important is that whenever we find ourselves in these dark places, and when we lean on God to get us out of it, then we're not worried about what we have in this world and what we don't have in this world, because every bit of it can be taken from us. Like that portion we're talking about, the portion that we are, that Jesus is our portion. Do you know that it said that he didn't even have a home? He didn't even have a home. He walked around and he looked for provision from God. He went from town to town. If I have nothing but Jesus, I have everything. It's really hard sometimes whenever you get in situations where you don't understand, where you feel like, where you've done all the right things, you've done everything that you know to do, and still, it can be taken from you in a moment. But all the things of this world, these are worldly things. Whenever I was at that point, the Lord's put in my head, he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God. And the scripture, whenever you look that scripture up, it talks about they were coming to him and asking him about taxes, actually, believe it or not. And he said, look on the money, whose picture's on there? And that's whenever Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, because it was the image of Caesar on there. But do you know that if we are his, that his image is on us? So it don't matter. My authority is Jesus Christ. My authority, my provision, everything that I need, my cup. The Holy Spirit resides in me, and he resides in you if you're one of his. And you will have everything that you need to be able to navigate this storm, navigate this dark place, navigate anything that you need to navigate in this world to make it past that. And whenever you know that, and whenever you know whose you are, and you know who he is, then that is that stable place. That is the only stable place that you will ever need in this world. Whether you are a small child or whether you're a grown adult. I think about some of the things that happened to me whenever I was a little girl, and some of the things that have happened to probably a lot of you whenever you were younger, things that should never happen to little kids. I asked the Lord one time, I wasn't even going to talk about this, and I'm not going to go real deep into it, but whenever the Lord is your refuge, that comes from a history with God. a history where he has been your provision and your strength and your safe place. And there's a lot of little kids out there, and there's a lot of grown adults out there that he is their safe place, and they found that out. See, I'm not somebody who learns by like somebody just telling me something. I learn by doing, you know, whether that's at work, whether that's with the Lord, any of that. Like he knows me, and he knows you, and if you're like me, you got to learn by going through things. So, you know, whenever I was a little girl, some things happened to me that shouldn't have happened. And I remember these years are going by fast. I decided that I was going to go to a counselor and talk to her about it. And whenever I talked to her about it, and I went through everything, I hadn't thought about that stuff for a long time, and I went through it all, and she told me that God allowed it. Well, I remember going to sleep that night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was just, all I heard was really, really loud. I kept hearing, God allowed it, God allowed it, God allowed it. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was so angry because I could not understand how a God that loves me would have let something like that happen to me. And for so many people, that's what it comes, they don't understand, unbelievers, they don't understand how a good God can allow such bad things sometimes. And we will never understand the whys of this world, I can tell you that. But I was very lucky that day because the Lord told me why. He said, because if I hadn't, you never would have come to me. And the situations are different for everybody. But I can tell you that God will use it. He'll use it all. And he will give you a safe place to stand, and he'll give you a safe place to hold on to when you're going through it, and you will not have to go through it by yourself. But for those out there that are listening to this and you're going through your own storm, I encourage you to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, because you will find rest there. Lean on the things that you've seen him do in the past. And if you don't have anything in the past, then lean on him now. Because he is a faithful God. In our scripture, Psalm 46, says, God is my refuge and my strength. So what does it mean to have the strength of God? He's my refuge and my strength. When do I need strength? I need strength whenever I have to endure something for a long period of time, or whenever I got to endure something that is so heavy that I can't lift it up by myself. But oh, how God is faithful. I must not have anybody here who's ever had to lift something that you couldn't lift before. But see, that's whenever, when you see people praising and you see them dancing and you see them worshiping, it's because they know. They know what it's like to have victory in an impossible situation. They know what it's like to have things that have been so heavy on them and not know what they're going to do next, and have a God that just pulls them through it. They know what it's like to be on your sickbed, not know whether or not you're going to get out of that ICU. But God. They know what it's like to be hurt so bad by the people that you love the most, and have a God that loves you. I remember when I went through my divorce. See, the Lord told me I was going to do some testifying today. I'm sorry, you guys got to put up my stories, but you do. So I don't know if anybody can relate out there, but but anyway, I remember my husband had left me, and I'm not even going to say the reasons why, because there's no need to bring anybody down or anything. But I remember I was standing that Sunday, the Sunday that he had left. I was in the middle of church, and I was worshiping God. I was in front, worshiping with a friend of mine, and somebody that I was acquaintances with, but I didn't even know that well. She came over from the other side, and she just threw her arms around me. My eyes were closed. It surprised me, because she like just put her arms around me, and she said, I just want you to know that God said, let me bring him up, because I don't want to mess it up for you. God said that he will love you, and he will provide for you, and he will protect you. All the things that a husband would do for his wife. And she didn't know. She had no idea. And later that week on a Wednesday, I went to a service. I think it was at Solomon's Church. I went and there was a woman preacher there that day. Didn't know my situation. None of these people did. But I went up to the altar to pray because they called an altar call. And I remember that when she had her arms around me and she was praying for me. She just said that God just wants me to tell you that what you lost is going to be returned to you triple what you had before. And so that's the God that we serve. He is an on-time God. He's a God that he knows exactly what you need when you need it. That's where your strength comes from. I can tell you that every single time that I was down, the Lord lifted me up. Every time I was down, the Lord lifted me up. And I can tell you, to this day, it took about 10 years because he took a little while getting here and a lot of prayer, let me tell you what. But he's probably more than triple what I lost. And he was worth every prayer. He was worth every minute of waiting on him. But God is faithful, and he will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. Whenever we're thinking that we need strength, it's because we're, you know, sometimes we are alone in things or we feel alone, but you never have to worry about that. Because if you are a child of God, you have the Lord. You have the Lord by your side at all times. I may be pressed, but I'm not crushed. Persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. Struck down, but I am not destroyed. Don't you ever let the enemy tell you different. Never let the enemy tell you different. 2 Corinthians 12:8-9 says, in that scripture, God says that that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And that only happens whenever we submit ourselves to him, because we're not strong enough to carry some of the things of this world. And I don't know for the life of me how some people make it through it without Jesus. It baffles my mind because I can't even think. Like I said, when I was going through my divorce, there were nights whenever I didn't know if I was going to make it through the next minute. That I thanked God that I was 1 minute closer to being through it because I didn't want to be here anymore. And I would wake up the next day and give thanks to God when I woke up. God, thank you. I'm one more day through this. One more day to being closer to being through it. And sometimes that's how it feels. It feels like it is so thick and it is so hard to get through, but you get through it. You keep walking through it. You keep walking through it because that's where you learn. That's where it becomes more than just scripture verses on a page. It can't be just scripture verses on a page. They're there for a reason. They're there so that you understand what the truth of God's word is. So he's able to carry you and he's able to lift you up. And there are some people out here that need lifted up. They need to hear the word of God. They need to know that there is hope for a different tomorrow. Because in the end, we have victory. In the end, we're going to hear that trumpet sound. And it's going to be that Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to split that sky wide open. And he's going to come back for us. And all of this is going to be passed away one day. One day there's going to be no more crying. No more tears. Nothing. One day we're going to dwell with him forever. So if we go back to Psalm 46, it says, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. One thing I want you to understand is that the devil works in fear. He will tell you everything he can tell you to make you afraid, every lie. But see, the devil, he's not just a liar, he is a deceiver. He will mix lies with the truth to try to make you believe it. So you have to be onto his game. His strategy doesn't change very much over time. And the more you battle the Lord, I battled the Lord many times too. I've been like Jacob, believe me, I've been wrestling, hanging on. But the more that you battle the devil, the more you learn how to fight him. So you learn how to cast those thoughts down. You learn how to cast those spirits out of your life, and out of your children and out of your situation. You learn how to do those. You learn how to do those by understanding who you are in him and standing up to that stuff. You learn who that is by learning that he is your Jehovah Jireh. Declare that. Declare, God is my Jehovah Jireh. Do you know when that was first used? That in the Bible, the first mentioned thing that he taught me years and years ago, that was used whenever Abraham took his son and God provided a ram in the bush. God is our ram in the bush. You know, he took Abraham and his son to that specific place on that mountain. And sometimes the Lord will take you to a specific place. I heard this week, and it's true, is that the Lord led the Israelites to the Red Sea. He led them there because he knew he was going to provide a way through, you see. But they had to learn that they could provide on a God that would part those seas for them. And there's other scripture in the Bible, too, that talks in Hosea. I can't think of the exact scripture right now, but it talks about a valley of hope that is only found through, it's called a, oh my gosh, I wish I would have studied this more, but it comes to the valley of anchor, which is a valley of trouble. You find the door of hope. That's what he said to the Israelites. Sometimes whenever we feel like we're in the wilderness and whenever we're in all these rough places, understand that sometimes those are the only places that we can find that door of hope, because we're not going to turn to anything else. I know myself, like, if I'm like anybody else with that fleshly nature sometimes, I will try everything else first sometimes before I look to the Lord. And I have to learn, okay, God. All right, we'll do it your way. And his way is always right. Even if it makes no sense to me, even if it makes no sense to anybody else. So other things that we find out in our ever-present help is that God is our healer. He is our healer. I can't even tell you how he's healed my body. He's healed my fleshly body at least 3 times that I can think of off the top of my head. We have a God that is able to do the impossible things. And sometimes we are in situations where we're okay, Lord, I'm waiting for my healing. And we don't understand it because we've done all the right things. We've done the things that we're supposed to do, and we can't understand sometimes why we don't get our healing. But I can tell you this much, that as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you don't get your healing in this world, I promise you, you'll get it in the next. Because we're not bound. We are not bound. You know, Paul was given a thorn in his flesh. That's what it says in the Bible. We don't know what that thorn was. It was just an affliction. So just because you have an affliction doesn't mean that you're some evil person or that you've done something wrong. Sometimes we just have a thorn in our flesh. But you know what? We can either get down and we can sit there and feel sorry for ourselves, or we can let that keep us down, or we can let that be another reason, yet another reason for us to lean on the Lord and to hold on to him with everything we have, because he is our portion. He is our portion and our strength. And that's where we learn that if we submit that to him, even that flesh, it will keep us humble, but it will get us through, and it will remind us who God is in our life. And God is our deliverer, isn't he? Isn't that what we learn whenever he's our very help, present help, and he delivers us? He delivers us from so much. And some of us, we get caught up in things sometimes whenever maybe the situation that we're dealing with maybe is a situation where people are coming against us and we don't understand it. Sometimes it's even people in the church. That was a really rough thing for me. Like when I was a baby Christian growing up, and you know, you expect sometimes the people around you, you know, you don't expect that from them. And sometimes it causes you not to be able to trust people and to not want to step out. But that's just the devil. The devil will use anybody. He don't care. So you have to get beyond that. You can't look at you can't look at the church like you would look at Jesus, because he is separate from that. And you cannot use the imperfections of the church body as an excuse not to come to church or not to praise the Lord God Almighty. You cannot use that, because the devil doesn't care what excuses you give. He don't care. He'll use it to kill, steal, and destroy you. You have to come, and you have to worship, and you have to grow, and you have to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you have to be where you can hear that word, where you can let that penetrate your soul, where you can put that and you can hold it in your heart. I think sometimes I'm like, Lord, I'm like, with the way that this world's going nowadays, I'm like, especially like we have the Bible on our phone now and stuff, I'm like, what if one day there aren't any more Bibles and then they can just shut that off like with a just a switch? You got to hide that word in your heart. There are people right now that I've heard in, that are in China who they're not, you know, it's illegal to be a Christian over there. So some of them, like almost all those Christians over there, they've been put in prison for their faith. So get ready. Get ready, church. Because the devil ain't playing games. Hide that word in your heart. Sometimes the people over in China, what they'll do is people will, they will sneak in different words to them. And they memorize them as fast as they can and they get rid of them because they get caught with them. I don't know what would happen to them over there, but I imagine it wouldn't be very good. But they hide that word and they memorize it, and sometimes that's all that gets them through it. So I would encourage you to hide that word in your heart, because the Lord will use that. He will use that to strengthen you, to prepare you, to get you through the next step of things. And He is my teacher. That's what I learn in my ever-present help, that He is my teacher. He teaches me how to battle. He teaches me how to stand up. He teaches me, even if I'm the only one standing, that as long as I'm honoring Him, He's the only one that matters. He also gives me the boldness. He gives me the boldness that I need when I need it. I remember working at, I was working at a hospital. Yeah, I know I told you guys this story before. I was working at a hospital, and my coworkers, we had a pretty small department, but they wanted me to do Bible studies with them. So we would do them at lunchtime, and there was one person that had come through in the middle of one of the Bible studies that we did, and they went in. I guess they must have complained about it to my boss, and so I got called into the office. And I remember she told me, she said, "You can't do these anymore, or you know, you're not going to be able to work here." And I said, "Well, I said I can't promise you that I won't, because if the Lord prompts me to do it, I'm going to do it." And I said, "You do what you need to do." And I said, I'm being as respectful as I can. I said, "But the Lord's my authority. You are too, but He is my higher authority. And I'm not going to watch somebody go to hell." And the very next week, it was funny, the very next week, the clergy of the hospital came to me and he said, "You know, once a year we do this thing where we walk around and we pray for everybody in the hospital." And I forget what day they called it. He said, "Would you help me do that? Because I need some people to help me." And I remember how ironic it was whenever I was going through, and we had whole departments that would come out, like all the surgeons came out, and there would be like 20, 25 people in the surgery unit and in the baby unit, and we would all be sitting there and we would be holding hands, and I was praying for them and I was touching their hand, the surgeon's hands, and praying for them as they were to do surgery over the people. And I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter what man does to me, because whatever man does to me, the Lord will lift me up higher. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if man tries to stop you. If it is of God, it doesn't matter. Because one of two things are going to happen. Either the Lord's going to raise you up higher, because God has never taken anything from me that He hasn't given me an abundance more. Or God will use that situation to reach others. He'll use it to change the life of somebody else that you're there with. They'll watch how you walk through things, and it will affect the way they're able to walk through it. Anyway, I don't know what you are going through right now, but I'll start this kind of end this where I started it. Like, when I don't know what to do, when I'm in a situation that is dark, I go with what I'm certain of. What I'm certain of for you is I'm certain that God will do the same thing for you that He has done for me. I am certain that He is a God of the impossible. and that there is no situation that is too big or too small that he cannot handle in your life. I know that God is your healer. I know that he is every strength and he is your ever-present help in time of trouble. I know that he is able to take what's lost and make it found. I know that he is able to make blind eyes see because he's made mine see. I know that every moment that I needed him, that he was there, and he's able to use every situation that you have. Cindy, can you start the music for me? Do you guys believe God can do it? Because some of the people in this room, you're facing those impossible situations. Situations where you don't know how you're going to get through it, but you're trusting in a God who is there for you, who is your refuge, who will hold you, who will carry you, who will lift your head, and who will raise you higher. He will raise you higher. Because some people are needing some rest today. They're needing some refuge and some strength. And if you want to come to this altar, I trust you find what you're looking for.
In a few moments, we're going to, on our way out, we're going to let you give. And I rarely ever say anything about this. But I'm going to say it today. I'm on this. I never preach on finances. Giving, it's rare. Unless I know the Lord wants me to say something. And while she was preaching, the Lord was speaking to me, something else. Because I've been seeking him about some direction, decision. Got to talk to leadership about things. Opportunities that God has brought about for this church yet again. And I started thinking, God, in order to do this, that's a lot of finances. He said, Adam, it's only 100 people. God has consistently shown this church how big and how powerful he is. He's consistently demonstrated how awesome he is, how big he is, how marvelous. He's demonstrated his favor, but he's allowed this ministry to be there for the people. And things are tough right now for people. And as I was seeking the Lord about, God, what are we supposed to do with this? I really believe that I got the answer that we need. The answer is we need to be there for the people. Show them me in bigger and marvelous ways. Expansion is coming. And the government doesn't have the answer. Don't care who's in there. None of them know what they're doing. Because they're not the answer. They're not your resource. I don't care if the government puts money on a card, they're not your resource. I don't care if the government is your health insurance, it is not your resource. Thank God for it. Take the money, use it, whatever, but he is not your resource. That God is. Part of what God wants us to do between the Dream Center and what he's doing here and all that we do is just show them him. And it's going to require more than us that are in this, people that aren't here today. It's going to require even more and more. As she was preaching and I was really seeking God, God, what are we going to do? We got to come up with a decision on what you've made available to us. He reminded me just simply of this, and I'm only going to read it. We're going to leave. I'm going to pray. You're going to leave. and we're going to let up to God. Malachi chapter 3. There's a promise for you. Every preacher goes here, but most of them don't preach the real great revelation of it. They miss it. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God?" Question mark. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. It asks a question. So what's the answer? Yes, we'll rob God. We do it all the time. We give God our leftovers rather than what He asks of us. Come on, we do it in worship. We do it on Sunday morning. We do it in a lot of ways. There's a whole lot of churches giving God very little this morning. And then we'll rob Him. Watch this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Wherein we have robbed you in tithes and offerings. He says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Watch this. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now within this, says the Lord of hosts, if I want to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11 is the key. We're good at preachers preaching that part. He's going to open the windows of heaven, and we can decree and declare it, and then people are like, well, where is it? Because we didn't preach the principle. Look in verse 11. He's saying, when you give to me, when you give to the kingdom, when you give that dollar, $5, $500,000, whatever it is that people give, God says, watch what I'll do. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven for you. In other words, I'm going to give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But God, He builds on this in His word in verse 11. He says, I will. In other words, instead of you will, He's saying, I, God, will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And there's a lot of people that are in need right now, and our community is in need, and the need is only going to get bigger. We can't just blame the White House or Congress or whatever. That's easy, and that's cheap. All these things, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. This is all coming together for the end purpose of what the Bible says will happen in the last days. So don't blame Washington. God set it up. We may or may not like them. I don't care what you may or may not like. We have to understand the Word of God, and God has set it up, set us up for such a time as this. He says, will we rob God? Yes. He's saying, but I ask that you don't, because I want to open the windows of heaven for you. And He says, and when you give to me, He says, I, God, will rebuke the devourer, meaning every area where that is being devoured in your life. He says, my response is I'll rebuke it. In other words, you don't have to say, I rebuke you, devil, anymore. God's saying it from heaven. You don't have to labor in prayer and rebuke the devil. God says, I'm going to rebuke every area of your life that's being devoured. Your peace, right? Your health, your finances. Come on, some of us are trying to get out from underneath a debt. Anybody else? Hallelujah. You know how you get out of debt? I have known this secret. I've literally watched it. You give your way out. People say, why is the church so blessed with property all the time? It's because we give our way out. We get one property given, we'll give. When an evangelist comes in, we give a lot, you know. I ain't going to bring no preacher in for $200-$300. No, they're going to get thousands. Because as we bless, now some of y'all want to preach, see? You're like, oh, I'm called to preach. Relax, Michelle. I said evangelist. He said, I will rebuke the devourer. You need to remember that. Just like I said last week, you need to go home and tell your checkbook, tell your house, whatever, you're lying on me. And let God do the rebuking. And just remind God of His word. God, I gave as you said. Now rebuke the devourer. And what I know to be true is that as we embark on the next few months of this ministry, and as God does extraordinary things, we're just going to let God show off one more time. One more time. Some people approached us and said, do you want this property? I'm just going to tell you now, the answer is yes. We're going to take over this property. All I can say until it's official, and I've already, and I got to get the leadership to back me up on this, because otherwise I could get fired. But the answer is yes. It's real close. I mean, when you walk out of the church, you could spit on it. And so we're going to need your help. You say, what about the dreams? Oh, it's still happening. God already has unlocked a whole new strategy. And the furnace is already ordered. All of that stuff, it's just got to be put in. Because the Bible said, and I just preached to you leaders, if you were on the leadership thing this week. If you weren't, I'll send you the link. And if you didn't sign up for it, I'll send it to you anyway, because it was that good. The Bible says, how many of you were taught in church to pray for souls? The Bible never said to. Come on, Bible scholars. The Bible never says anywhere to pray for souls. Anywhere. It's not in there. We're done mistaught. But the Bible does say, Pastor Don, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So will you be a laborer? Are you going to help reap the harvest? Are you going to help provide housing for the homeless? You can help with getting people off of drugs and alcohol right here in our community. Or are you going to help us employ people that need jobs? You think I'm crazy? I'm not crazy. I believe and I know what God has shown us. And so I'm sharing this with you today, that as you give, God's going to multiply it. As I sat there and I said, God, in order to do this, I need $100,000 to take this property over. He said, Adam, that's only 100 people. There's more than 100 people that watch us live online. Somebody came in this week and came in and dropped $2,000 cash on my desk. Just, there it was. He said, we need you to use this for whatever purpose it is. And I thought, well, I only need 98 more. It's no exaggeration. So when you give today, some of you say, preacher, don't be trying to get no $1,000. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not one of those. I'm not fleecing the flock. What I'm saying to you is that when you give, you're giving to something bigger than you, a place that is making a difference. It doesn't go to me. Goes to her, she puts in the bank. They don't write me no checks. Lois, I promise you that. When you give, you're giving to the future to change lives. And you rebuke the devourer off of your life. So I'm going to challenge you today to just give. I'm not telling you what to give. Give your tithe, give an offering, I don't care. People that are watching online, if you're still there, I want you to give. There's people that give online. I saw what came in yesterday. I appreciate people that are faithful like that. And as you give today, I want you to know it's more than keeping a light on. It's you giving to people's future. And yet, more importantly for you, it's you rebuking the devourer. In other words, Dinah, every area that you lack, it's you saying the devil has no authority there. Think about that. If he's attacking your health or your child's health, he rebukes the devourer. I was chatting back and forth with my daughter this week, and she's sick and in the hospital, and they were thinking this and thinking that, and she's pregnant. And the first thing I thought was, she's going to be just like her mother. And then as soon as that thought came in my mind, I said, cast down every thought. Bring it into captivity. Right, cast down every thought. Bring it into captivity. And I said, Lord, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. So as you give today, I'm going to give. And we're going to rebuke the devourer together. That everything the enemy has tried to destroy or take from you or rob from you, or that he seems like he's devouring right now, your peace, you get it back when you give. Because you're sending him to do the war. And he's just going to stand in heaven and say, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. As simple as that. And you're going to get sleep tonight. April, you don't have to worry. You'll be able to just sleep. But all the things that you can't fix, you can just go to bed and sleep and say, you know what? God's got it. God's got it. I ain't going to stress about money or a job or who likes me, who don't like me. God's got it. Because he's rebuking the devourer. Amen. So you're going to give today on your way out. Amen. Stand to your feet. See, y'all thought I was going to preach. I could. When I start talking about the goodness of God and giving, I could tell you story after story after story. The seats you're sitting on were a blessing from God. I'm not kidding you. Church never had to pay a dime for him. The building you stand in never had to pay a dime for him. That camera that lets us be on TV, we never paid a dime for it. This sound system, we didn't pay a dime for it. What do you mean? We didn't? Because that's the favor of God. That Christmas tree right there, Walmart just called us up one day and said, you want a Christmas tree? I said, well, we got six or whatever. And the ladies were like, yeah, we can put it in the new building or in the Dream Center. Right? So Walmart blessed us. Every time I go in there, I say, Lord, bless him for blessing us. I could go on and on and on. That's what he does when you give. He rebukes the devourer. How many know that song, Can't Touch This? Nah, 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 nah. Oh, come on. Don't act like you're all holy all the time. MC Hammer, that's right. Some of y'all know what it is. Ah, see, now they're awake. David, we'll have Lois play it for you. In other words, what God's saying, hey, when you give, it's God saying, can't touch this. Nah, 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 nah. I ain't going to do it. I'll spare you. None of y'all want to see Twiggy do the dance. Watch this. That's what God's doing for you. I share with that sister right there that God wants to be like the husband for her, the protector, the provider. Sometimes some of you want to know what it is to run home and tell your spouse what a bad day it was, and you can't because they don't want to hear you or how good it was, but he does. I don't care how lonely you are. I don't care what hell you face. I don't care what you've been through. Just tell him. Talk to him. He wants to hear how good it was, how bad it was, and he wants to hear what he can do for you. And that's what God does when you give. He says, I'll do it. I'll take care of that, your enemy, and I'll tell him, can't touch this. Nah, 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 nah. Amen. That's how much God loves you. Amen. So we're going to pray over your seed. We're going to let you give it. Make sure you love on somebody, hug on somebody on your way out. Next Sunday afternoon is the gala at 4 o'clock. We're going to give you a couple announcements about that. This week we have a food distribution on Thursday. It's supposed to be nice, but it's going to be chilly. So if you're helping, dress warm. Of course, we'll be in the office getting ready for the gala. Mom, will you come real quick, make these couple announcements? We're going to pray, send you on your way. Steelers don't play till 4, so y'all need to relax. It'll be all right. You're still going to maybe beat the Assemblies of God and the Methodists and the Independents and everybody else. It'll be all right. They won't be at Eaton Park yet. But we're gonna give these couple announcements. We're going to pray. So everybody online, stay there because I'm going to pray over your seed. See, you're giving. People of you were already giving. I saw the alerts. And because you gave, we want to pray over it. Don't just give and click off because we just don't want your money. Because if that's all people do, if we don't get the opportunity to bless it, I'll send it back to you. That's what I believe. Did you hear what I said? If we don't have the opportunity to pray over it and bless it, I'll send it back to them. Because I want it to be multiplied in their life. That's how much I believe in the Word of God. Hallelujah. So tell them this stuff real quick.
Okay. All right, everybody. Gala starts at 4 o'clock. Dwayne, 4 p.m. Anyways, no, we start at 4. We're not eating at 4. The caterers will be bringing the food in and setting it up for us, but we'll be doing a lot of other fun things next Sunday night at 4 o'clock. If you need to change the number that you have registered for, see me today because I have to put the final count for the food in tomorrow. So if you're subtracting or anybody, or adding anybody to who's coming, let me know. Don't forget, everybody is expected to bring a $1 gift. As the pastor said last Sunday, have a little fun with it, but clean fun. Make sure it is wrapped. When you come in, I will be gathering those up from everybody. So it can be anything from the Dollar Tree, anything. The $1.25 tree, I forgot. Yes, it went up. Wonder if they're going to change the name. But anyways, make sure it's wrapped. You don't need to put a to or from tag on it, anything like that. Just wrap it, bring it, and give it to me. If you're bringing children, make sure you also bring one gift for yourself and then one for each child. We're probably going to put them in an area to themselves so that they can also do their little thing. But make sure you do that. And I have three ladies that are going to do cookies for me: Geneva, Cynthia, and Cindy Chips. Do I have one more lady that will make me some cookies? I'm asking for 3 dozen. Michelle said Brenda, you can go ahead and make two. Good, we got 2 of them. All right, we got plenty of cookies in. Pastor's up here asking Scott if Michelle can bake. Okay, and the one thing I do need to ask is next Sunday, I just need everybody that can to stay afterwards because we have to tear all this down and set up. All you have to do is tear this down, set up the tables, and then I can take it from there. But I could use all the help I can get next Sunday getting that done. Any questions? You can dress however you want to. You can be festive. You can be in blue jeans. I live in blue jeans. You can wear your Santa shirt, whatever. What? You can wear an ugly sweater, Scott. Yes, we'll be looking forward to seeing yours. But it's going to be a fun night. We had a ball Friday night on the bus. I thought, where's she at? Ramona? I thought Ramona was going to wet her pants. I really did. The way she laughed and carried on, it was wonderful. We had a great time. So don't miss out next Sunday night. But if you're adding to, let me know today. Thank y'all.
And y'all made it home, and the preacher didn't hurt you in driving either, right? Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray over your seed. Pray over your week. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this awesome, powerful moment. That God, we have the opportunity, as your word says, we get to give. We get to give in the future. We get to give to change lives. And Lord, we get to give, as your word says. And as we do, you open the windows of heaven. But Lord, you rebuke the devourer. So Father, today, as each person prepares to give, Lord, I thank you, and I just remind you of your word, that every area that they've been attacked, every area that God, that they've been stolen from, every area that the enemy has been devouring in their life, that God, as they're faithful in their giving today, that Lord, you will do what you said. You'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. You rebuke the devourer so that God, you can be glorified. So Father, I thank you that every area they've been attacked, every area they've been taken from, every area they've been stolen from, God, every area that they've been depleted, I thank you that Lord, you, God, will rebuke the devourer, which is better and greater than we could ever do. So Father, I thank you today for your word, and I thank you that we have the opportunity and the privilege to give right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that, Lord, you will open the windows of heaven. I thank you that we will be an influence in our community. I thank you that, Lord, we will be able to see lives changed for your glory. And Lord, the only thing we can give people that's of any great value is you. So help us. And Lord, I thank you that you'll keep sending more and more laborers, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So Lord, we're not asking for souls. The souls are next door, across the street. We just need laborers. So send us more. Send us more people that can share vision, help do the work, and God, we give you glory, we give you honor. Bless the week ahead for your people, and we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus, your mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.